This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. It's November 16th, episode 1300. Congrats, Glenn.
Yeah.
It's brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. We love round numbers, don't we?
Yes, we
Good
do.
Morning, horse world.
Good morning. This is your wake-up call.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
The first ever 12-hour live Horse Radio Network Radiothon by WeatherVita and HorseLovers.com is coming fast on Cyber Monday, November 30th, 2015, starting at 9 a.m., running through 9 p.m. Eastern. A full day of holiday fun, unbelievable guests, prizes, and you. Click on the banner at horseradionetwork.com and learn how you can be part of it.
But I'll take your bet you're gonna regret, cause I'm the best as ever been.
Johnny, rosin up your bow and play your fiddle hard. Cause hell's broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals the cards. And if you win, you get this shiny fiddle made of gold. But if you lose, the devil gets your soul.
That's right. Well, if you didn't see it over the weekend, we made a little bit of an announcement about who our first guest on the Radiothon in 2 weeks from today, right now. Actually, 2 weeks from today, we will be introducing our first guest, and we were so excited. You know how I don't get very nervous for interviews. We've discussed that in the past, right? I mean, I've interviewed 4,000 people. I just very seldom get nervous. We pre-recorded this one because he wasn't available that day, and I got a little nervous.
Did you really?
Yeah,
well,
I think I did.
Being that we are mentioning that we did record it, you know, honestly, you guys, it couldn't have gone any better.
No, it really couldn't have.
What an absolutely lovely individual he is. Holy cow, you would not. I was expecting kind of a gruff, salty. Oh my gosh, he's a big sweetie.
Yeah, well,
he's a big sweetie.
For those that don't know who that song was done by there at the end, or who we're talking about, is Charlie Daniels. So.
Oh.
The Charlie Daniels Band, and Jennifer got that interview. Give her credit. Give her props. And now the challenge has been thrown down to the other hosts. They're all like, oh, geez, we've got to step up our game. So they're all working on big interviews, too. But yeah, Charlie Daniels was absolutely delightful.
Oh my gosh, I was nervous too. And so he came on and I just loved him. Like my day Friday, I just had a good day because we interviewed him after the show Friday morning and it was just a good day.
Do you want to hear a little snippet of it to give everybody a teaser?
Yeah. As long as I don't have to hear myself.
No, this is just Charlie.
Okay, good.
Riding when it's snowing. I mean, not a blizzard, but when it's just kind of, you know, when snow's kind of coming down and you hear a horse's hoofs kind of padding on top of it. And that is a wonderful experience. Anybody's never done it, I highly recommend it.
He's 80 years old. He was touring when we talked to him. He was in Michigan touring.
So crazy. So crazy. He's just, what an amazing guy, you know. It was really awesome. So I have a question, Glenn. When everybody's going to join to listen to the Radiothon, if they click, are they starting at the beginning or are they starting?
No, they're
like
starting
right
in the middle. However, we are going to put the whole thing out as a podcast.
Okay.
And we are going to break it up into hours and then put out the hours separately too.
Perfect.
So if you just want to listen to Endurance Hour, you can. If you just want to listen to us, you can. So, you know, whatever hour you want to listen to, we're going to put it out on all the various feeds and everything as well. Now,
but Charlie's on our feed.
Charlie's first thing in the morning with us, baby.
Man, it was awesome. So don't be late then. If you want to hear that interview in real time, then you want to join us Cyber Monday. I'm getting excited. And I started, I mean, after talking to Charlie.
I know,
like,
you were on a roll. I kept getting these texts.
I'm like, who can we fit? So I put out some calls. I put out some stuff and we'll see what happens. But
Yeah, because you, from your old radio career, you know people. You'd have to call in some markers, I think. But
I think we'll see. I only put out a couple, and I just to horse people, because horse people are the people we want to talk to. I don't care about talking to, no offense, Ariana Grande about her new album coming out. I want to talk to like Shania Twain about her horse. Like that's who I want to talk to. I don't care. But I mean, that'd be nice to talk Shania. No, I didn't book her. We're good. She's not coming.
Well, I think it should be fun. It should be a good time. We're really, really looking forward to it. And we have a lot of things planned. And I will say, and we'll talk about more later in the show, but I am starting to get voicemails in now from our listeners. And some of them are very creative and some are just happy holidays. And it's great. We love them all. So we love hearing from you guys. Keep the voicemails coming. We'd like to have all the voicemails in by Thanksgiving. That gives us time to get them prepared for that date. I didn't know what planning 12 hours live with all the different hosts and everything, how much planning goes into that. And then I got to thinking, Jamie, geez, regular radio stations do that every day.
Yeah, but they play a lot more music.
Yeah, I guess. A lot less talking. But, you know, you still have to get the commercials. You have to get all the commercials planned and everything planned. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. I mean, we would have pages of the day's logs when we would sit there. And, you know, a lot of it started getting computerized by the end. But when I was working at one of the radio stations, we played CDs and you had to stack them up and you had to get them ready and you'd have to pop them in at the right time. And it was very much like that. And if you got confused, you had to go to the log. And the log was just pages. So hopefully, Glenn, you have a log.
Yes, we are going to be very logged. And and unlike me, where I usually do everything the day before, I have been prepping and preparing, and we've already started creating all the show production notes pages and getting all the commercials together already.
I'm so proud. I'm so proud. You know what I am? I am not proud of, Glenn.
Yes.
What's the date today?
The 16th.
I thought of this over the weekend. November 16th.
Yeah, what'd I do?
I did it too. And I'm terrible.
Oh, we missed our anniversary.
We've been on the show 5 years, and 16 days later, I remember that it's our anniversary.
Well, it's November 1st, right?
Yes!
Of 2010.
2010, November
1st. Well, happy anniversary, partner. Yay! And thanks, Jennifer, too.
And Jennifer, too. And all of you listeners who have either come in and out or stayed the whole time, whatever, we appreciate it. 5 years. And this is the reason why we work really well together, because both of us forgot it.
Well, we were on our vacation, I think.
Don't. I don't even want to hear where you think you were. You were not on your vacation.
Yeah, we were. We were till the 3rd. So, yeah, we were at your house practically on our anniversary.
At Mark Roberts' house. Don't lie to me.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. Wow. So,
we're starting in our sixth year.
Sixth year. This is our
1,300 episodes.
And my husband loves to say what he said to me all the time when I mentioned we had just had our anniversary. He's like, God. He's like, do you remember what I said to you? I go, absolutely. You were like, oh, congratulations on getting a job talking about horse radio. What are you going to talk to after about a week? Talk about. Yes. He's like, what are you going to talk about?
We get that a lot.
Yeah, we get that a lot.
I talked to your husband before I talked to you, actually, when you sent in your audio resume. I talked to him first.
I know.
I talked to him on the phone before I ever talked to you, actually. It was like, I had to get his permission, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I just answered my cell phone. Anyway, happy 5 years, buddy.
And yeah, thank you. And I don't think Jennifer has an on today's show. She told me she didn't, because it's just pretty much us and whoever else we can find. So you're stuck with us today.
There is something really important, obviously, that we want to mention, something incredibly sad that happened in our world over the weekend.
Yeah, so of course, we're talking about France. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with all the French after this weekend and, you know, with what's happening over there right now. We've been through, in the last 5 years, we've been through a lot of natural disasters and a lot of man-made ones, terrorist attacks and things, and it doesn't get any easier along the way, and nor should it. So our thoughts and prayers are with them.
And I just wanted to do something we've never done on the show, because this reading accounts of what happened and all the tragedy that struck, I just wanted to have a moment of silence just to reflect on where we are right now, and just take a moment just to think about the victims and their families. So here we go. And thank you very much, you guys. And our love goes out to the French and to everybody affected and to those guys that are in those fighter jets right now heading over there or already over there. So we love you guys.
And, you know, we've had this discussion before shows when there's been tragedies, tornadoes or whatever it's been, hurricanes, whatever it's been when we've been on the show. And we're like, well, what do we do today? And we always have said, and we've always stuck to, that we just have to do our show, you know, because, yeah, I mean, it's kind of silly and it's kind of funny. We hope it's funny. And it's kind of silly. And in the greater scheme of things, probably doesn't mean a whole lot. Except to our listeners, and Jamie, I see if I can get through this without crying. While we're on a serious note, I'll throw this at you. I got an email 2 minutes ago from Allison. And Allison, you might remember, sent us some Winnies a couple of weeks back, and her horse's name, I cannot say, it starts with a K. I'm going to call her horse K, because she has one of those names I can't say. So she sent us a couple of whinnies of her horse, and we played them on the air. Well, shortly after that, she says in this email, her horse got sick, and she ended up having to make the decision to put it down.
Oh, my gosh.
She said he was only 13 and was an incredible athlete who took care of me every time I was on his back. The vet hospital is almost 2 hours' drive away. During that time, I had to make the drive back and forth a few times. I cried so much during those days that my eyes were puffy and blurry. I realized that in order for me to make the drive safely, I had to stop crying. I had no one else to drive me. So I downloaded episodes of Hit 'Em and played them in the car so I'd be distracted by your uplifting voices and crazy antics. I wanted you to know that you kept me company and kept me safe during those drives. I had some dark days, and you kept my eyes dry on the road. A couple of days after I said goodbye to Kay, I was listening to the Know Your Hosts episode. Jamie, I was so incredibly touched by the answer when you asked, when asked by Glenn about what you'd like to hear God say when you arrived at the pearly gates, when you talked about hoping to see your pets who had passed away waiting for you. I burst out crying again. Not while I was driving this time. It was a perfect thing for me to hear. I think about Kay running in the fields, and when I join him and we do cross country together again. So that's why we keep doing the show after events like this. It's because we're there to help people get through the day.
Oh my gosh, how am I supposed to get through this?
Well, just do daily Winnies.
Let's go.
All right. Let's
love
do
ya.
A daily Winnie. And Allison, our best to you, and we certainly know how you feel. Well, my daily Winnie goes out to Kate Barrett, who's a new auditor, just became an auditor a couple weeks ago. And she wrote a note on her auditor's page and said she met author Janet Barrett, who's no relation, they both have the same last name, yesterday at Equine Affair. When I mentioned that I had heard about her book, They Called Her Reckless, on Horses in the Morning, she said it made her day. Looking forward to a great read. Well, you're certainly going to enjoy that, Kate.
Oh my gosh,
I
can't wait to take another road trip. I'm 3/4 of the way through it on Audible, and I'm like, we need a drive.
You want to go see the statue? You want to go to the Marine base?
Gosh, I cried like 25 times during that already. And not because it was, I mean, obviously it's very touching and very sad, but it's just so beautiful. And the horse is just so amazing, and I just love her. And that's it. I'm driving to Oklahoma. I'm not flying tomorrow. I'm driving.
Well, Kate Barrett, is. Thank you so much for becoming an auditor. We've had a lot of new auditors lately, and we welcome you all. And they've been having a great time over on our page. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. The auditors have their own Facebook page, but there's a certain discussion that's been going on, so we'll chat about that later. In the meantime, your turn.
Just have it ready, Glenn. Just have it ready. Have the sounder ready, because
really?
I know what you're going to do. So right before the show, I like barely made it back to my seat before the intro started, because I'm sitting in my house and I hear it's super quiet. It's nice. It's beautiful. It's like 6:45 in the morning, and I hear sundering hooves. Ugh, that's never good. We got a lot of rain last night. It's slick out there. So I'm like, that's it. Who's running? I go out there. And I remembered that we have a neighbor next door that just this weekend brought one of their stallions home. Beautiful Lusitano stallion next door in my neighborhood. And he's so stunning. But every time they turn him out, which I guess they just turn him out, he starts galloping. So he starts galloping and that pasture is across the road from mine. But then that makes my horses in my north pasture start galloping. Then my horses in the south pasture start galloping. So I've got like stereo on galloping on both sides of my house because it's like pasture on the right side of my house, pasture on the left side. Then that gets my neighbors two houses down and have horses. Their horses start galloping and then the horses behind them start galloping. So if you walk outside, it's like the marching band is playing the drums in your neighborhood. So of course, I have horses that chronically hurt themselves. So I think I've got to get these horses in right now. It's 6:45. I better hurry because I got to do a radio show, but I got to get the horses in because I don't need a vet bill afterwards. So I run out there. Glenn,
you were thinking like me.
It is 55 degrees, okay, outside. And I'm wearing my pajama shorts and a tank top. So I run outside. I'm freezing to death. Excuse the visual here. I got no bra on. I got a tank top on and shorts. And so I pull on my like Dublin tall boots, you know, the like, Dewberry looking boots. I throw on a fleece because nobody needs to see the girls in their pathetic little form this morning. So I'm galloping. I'm running out there trying to corral horses. And of course, they won't stop galloping when they see me coming with a halter. They run even faster. So I'm out there trying to grab a horse. I'm like, if I can grab Edward, I got him. And then I can get Thor out of the other pasture. And then everybody will follow. So I've got Edward. He's dancing around. I got splattered with mud all up my fleece and my face. I'm trying to wipe my face before I get in because I'm trying to get at least two of the horses from each pasture in before the show starts. And I come sprinting in here. Hood slide across my chair, sit down, and Glenn's like, here we go.
I don't want to be that girl.
Girl, that girl, that girl.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm here. I made it. And to my neighbors with the beautiful Lusitano stallion, if you could just wait to turn him out until I get my horses in the morning, that would be very helpful.
There's something that will upset the neighborhood. It's a Lusitano stallion.
It's a stallion just galloping like he's free. I'm here. I made it. Love you guys. Okay. Carry on.
Well, later on in the show, we are going to have Kristen here. Leslie could not make it today, so we are going to have Kristen here, and she Four Horse Nation, and she's going to be telling us she was at Equine Affair in Massachusetts over the weekend. So just like Kate Barrett. So she's going to tell us all about Equine Affair and what happened up there over the weekend. It's one of the biggest shows up there.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go to a happy story.
Okay, give it to me.
So there was something that happened at Equine Affair. It all ties in. During Fantasia. Fantasia is the big evening show that they have that they sell tickets for. And there's all kinds of horse acts and different things. And, you know, people do pretty stuff and they do fun stuff. And it's just a show. And it's well attended. Usually packs the place. Usually a sellout. And during the intermission at Fantasia, some young gentleman, well, He did a pretty cool thing, and let's hear about it from the local news up there.
Special moment at the 52nd Equine Affair last night for a couple from Longmeadow. Take a look at this video. Ashley Sergel has been riding horses.
They're in the middle of the arena.
Was 5 years old. Her boyfriend Mike Richard decided to include her favorite animal during his proposal. Mike popped the question during the intermission of the Fantasia, a musical celebration of the horse performance. He planned to have himself and Ashley in the center of the arena for winning some type of raffle, but instead he proposed. The arena cheered on as Ashley said yes.
So he made this whole story up about how they won some kind of contest, arranged it with the Fantasia people ahead of time. They were the only two in the ring. And he got his knee and he proposed. And then she said yes. And then a horse-drawn carriage pulled up and took him away in the carriage.
Oh, my God.
Does he get extra points for that or what?
Right? And, like, does he – how does that work? Like, how do you get to do that? How do you go, I'm going to go in the middle of the Equine Affair and the whole biggest event? Wow. Well, that's cool. That's fantastic. Congratulations to them.
Yes.
I love it.
And, you know, he's getting a lot of points because, you know, he played right into the whole horsey thing. I don't think he knows what he's getting into later, but, you know, we'll give him it now.
You need to get that guy on the air. And
I
just
do.
Talk to him.
We need him on the Horse Husbands episode and say, "Are you? You know?"
You know
then
what's
we
gone?
Can talk him down. Now, yeah. Now that he's engaged, we can talk him down. Jennifer, you're still here, right?
No, she hung up. She wants no part of this.
And we haven't heard a word from her. I don't even think she is here.
I just keep thinking about how your younger brother, who had a horse girl in his life, he didn't come to your rescue, did he? He just let you go along your merry way. He didn't try to talk you down.
You know, it's amazing because my family, nobody had anything to do with horses. And then two of the four boys ended up marrying horse girls. And my nephew, who we met in California, is now with a horse girl. So I don't know what it is, but seems to be we're attracted to horse girls.
I read this thing just the other day, and it's been going around on Facebook, and I told you I wanted to talk about it. And it is a don't, like the title of the article, and if you can find that, that'd be great. Don't marry a horse girl.
Okay? Oh, that guy is going to be on our radiothon and the Horse Husbands. I just found out. The guy who wrote
so
that.
Great. And it's basically like
I got it sent to me, by the way, by about 100 of our listeners. It's like, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, it just was one of those like, here, guys, let me tell you, don't marry a horse girl. And just don't do it. Here's a yes, they are hot. Yes, every horse girl is hot. And yes, they do look amazing in their breeches. Don't look down when you see them in the breeches. Just don't look down. Keep your eyes up and keep walking. So that's great.
See, that was my mistake. On. I looked down. Mm-hmm. That was my mistake all those years ago.
Yeah, boy. Man, I remember when we used to look good in breeches, Jen? God, I
love it. Back in the day, yeah.
Oh, man.
This is the point where I'm supposed to say you both still look great in breeches.
You don't have to lie. You know what's really sad is I have all these breeches, like my pre-Lucas breeches, because things just move around when you have a kid. And even if you don't have a kid, you know, I'm creeping up on the big, you know, big one. And I have been just saving all of these
Which
old
one
riding
is that,
pants. Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I got a couple years, 2 years till I'm 40. So
yeah, you got plenty of time.
Yeah, I got plenty of time. But I've been saving all these breeches that I just had in my youth. And I just, you know, like I had this really beautiful pair of like black full seat dressage breeches. And they were just, they're like kind of the high waisted ones. They're so classic looking. And then a bunch of different really nice breeches that I grew up in or I had in my 20s. And I just had to give them all away. Like, I was like, why am I saving these? There's some perfectly good 13-year-old girls that are super skinny. And it's so sad. They just look so nice in them. I'm like, oh, I can't even get my leg through one of the holes, you know. So I'm like, here you girls go. Carry on. Carry on.
All right. Do you want to hear about the top 250 thoroughbreds of all time? Or okay, why don't we do that first? This will get you all riled up if you riled up enough. So this was done by horseracingnation.com, and they're getting it. This is a vote thing. So their readers are voting on their top racing thoroughbreds of all time. And I think this has been going on for, it's only been going on for like 48 hours, the voting.
Oh, okay.
So here we have, I just want to see if you at all agree, and I know you're not. So we'll start at number 20. Some of these I've never even heard of, okay? So this is the top thoroughbreds of all time, so this goes way back too. All right, so here we go. Number 20, War Admiral.
Amazing horse.
Was surprised it wasn't higher, actually. Tom Fool, number 19.
I'm not familiar. Oh, that was he ran in 1953. I don't really know him.
And here you go, Zenyatta at number 18.
18?
I know. Bunch
Give
of
me a
male
break.
Chauvinists voting this up, I think.
Bunch of big jerk faces.
I knew you'd love that. Swaps. I have no idea who Swaps is.
Swaps, 17. Okay.
Yeah. 16 was Round Table.
Okay.
A lot of horses from the 50s.
That shows you how old acid people voting are.
Number 15 is Damascus.
Damascus.
1968 horse. Number 14 was American Pharoah.
14?
14.
There aren't that many Triple Crown winners, so he should have at least been 10th.
I knew you'd love that.
Yes.
All right. Number 13, Forgo?
Forgo. Yeah. Awesome horse.
Number 12, Count Fleet.
Okay.
Yeah, that goes back to the 40s there.
That's Triple Crown.
Yep. 11, Ruffian. 1970s.
Oh, man. We should have seen more of her.
Number 10, a Buck Passer. I have no idea. 1967. So,
Good Horse became a very prolific sire.
Yeah, okay. But American Pharoah about Buck Passer. Dr. Fager.
You know, I just bought Dr. Fager's biography, and I haven't read it yet, so I don't know much about it.
Oh, really?
I'm
well, let
learn,
us know
yeah.
when you find out about I Dr. Will. Fager, because I don't have any. Seattle Slew, yeah, should have been in the top 10 for sure. Okay, so
we're in the top 10 now.
Yeah, we're at number 8. Number 7, Spectacular Bid.
Okay.
I'm not sure Spectacular Bid is above American Pharoah.
No.
I don't. That was 1980. That's the year I graduated from high school. Number 6, Kelso.
Another horse ran in the 60s.
Again. Number 5, Affirmed. Yes, probably should be up there. We'll give him that. Number 4, Citation.
Yeah, awesome horse. Amazing.
Native Dancer, number 3.
Okay.
Yeah, again, you know, a lot of babies. Number 2, Man of War.
Number 2 is Man of War?
And number 1 is Secretariat.
Those are interchangeable.
Yeah, I kind of almost put Man of War above Secretariat still.
Well, here's why I'm not going to freak out. Because I put Man of War ahead of Secretariat. I just do. I like read the book as a kid. I've just been a huge fan of his my whole entire life. But Secretariat was on TV last night, and I watched it. And so I'm like, maybe he's the greatest.
And you have talked to Penny Chenery.
I have talked to Penny Jennery. We're like best friends. So, Secretariat, Man of War, it's definitely a 1-2 punch for sure. Actually, it looks like they have the same ranking, the same amount of votes.
Oh, that's true. They do. And I just thought the two I thought, obviously, was that, you know, Seabiscuit was number 27. You know, I mean, I thought American Pharoah and Zenyatta should have been in the top 10.
And John Henry was only 25. Wow. Yeah, I would have.
But it goes to show you how many great horses there have been over the years, right?
Was Cigar even on the list?
Oh, yeah. Where's Cigar?
Oh, my gosh.
No, not in the top. I don't see him in the top 50. It's like, did we forget about Cigar? Well, you know what? He didn't make any babies, so maybe that was why. I don't know.
But this is the best racehorses.
Yeah, and that are no longer active.
I'll have another is 41. We don't have Cigar. Liam's Map is 44. No Cigar. Palace Malice. Please give me a break.
Okay, we'll throw that list out.
Why don't you just? Why'd you do this to me?
I knew it would get you going this morning.
The rest of a show to do.
All right. Well, let's take a break for our sponsor, and then we're gonna come back. And I have the study show for November, just to keep your ire going on what we waste our money on in this country. But
Cigar
first
is 92. Are you freaking kidding me?
But first, we're going to hear about Omega Alpha. We're coming into winter.
Ridiculous.
Winter season is the time of year when our horses' respiratory systems often show signs of stress. More time in the barn, traveling long distances to winter quarters, and back-to-back competitions for weeks on end can all take a heavy toll on your horses' respiratory system. That's why Omega Alpha Equine has developed a variety of products to keep your horse's airways functioning properly. Airwaves, Lung Flush, Herbicough, Respifree, and Stasis have all been developed to keep your horse's respiratory system in peak condition. Ask for Omega Alpha's all-natural products at your local tack and feed supplier, or visit them online at OmegaAlphaEquine.com. That's OmegaAlphaEquine.com. And of course, we thank Omega Alpha for their continuing support, and they'll be our title sponsor in 2 weeks for the morning show. So we're glad to have them on board. Well, now I have
breaking news.
Oh, breaking news. Yeah, what?
Breaking news, everybody. Are you sitting down? All right, here you go. You know Jason Priestley, right, from 90210?
No idea, but go ahead.
Beverly Hills 90210, Jason Priestley,
never,
Brandon?
Never watched it.
It's embarrassing. All of our listeners know. Jennifer, do you know Jason Priestley from 90210 is? Brandon?
I know exactly who he is. He was the handsome one, right?
He was
the good-looking one?
I think Dylan was better looking than Brandon, but, you know, it was kind of did you like the good boy or the bad boy? It was kind of up in the air. So, anyway, Jason Priestley, the breaking news, you guys. Jason Priestley says he's looking forward to getting back to work after suffering a big concussion when thrown from a horse on the set of his new television series, The Code. What is the breaking news, you ask? Was it that he was thrown from a horse? No, it's that he's in a TV show now. Jason Priestley has a job. He apparently works again. So congratulations, Jason Priestley. Breaking news, Jason Priestley's back on TV. Nobody has really watched The Code.
Yeah, I have no idea what that show is.
It has it's in its first season. They've filmed 6 episodes so far, but it was last year. So it was when they first aired the episode. So they must be filming for the second season. So
or not.
Even more breaking news, Jason Priestley has been re-upped for another season of The Code. Oh, by the way, it is an Australian drama series. So our Australian listeners are probably going, of course.
Of course.
Absolutely. Jason Priestley's here. We love him. He's on all the time, mate.
It's funny how the Australians sound a lot like the British.
And listen, that was very Australian. I don't know what you're talking about. So.
Well, they did come from Britain a long time ago. So
absolutely,
I'll give you that.
They did.
They're just going back to their roots.
It airs in the United Kingdom, too. So there you go.
Studies show for November. All right. Now, we do this. It's every month. I just put study show in Google and put the last month in there. And we see how people are wasting. A lot of this is our money, our tax dollars at work. And some of it's private dollars that are being wasted. So here we go. Studies show for November. And I only give you the headlines. You can go look the rest of the story up yourself, although you won't need to. Study show, calories on fast food menus not changing customers' minds.
Duh.
Did anybody really think that was going to help? Anybody?
If you were walking in to a fast food restaurant, you have made your decision.
That's right. Exactly. You're exactly right. And I got to tell you, the fast food places I've been in, I don't even see them there. You just don't even see them. They're just totally out of your mind.
So the large fries
that's probably 100 grand,
1,000 calories,
right?
And the small fries is only 8. So I'll go. I'm dieting.
I'll go with the 8
small fries, 8,000 calories.
I talked. You know what? One of our favorite restaurants always has the highest calories and stuff. Is that Chipotle? Now, I think that when they do it, they're loading those things down with everything, all the sour cream and all that stuff. But I'm always surprised when Chipotle shows high on the calorie list for foods. But anyway.
You know, it really does, but it's so good.
Good. I know. It's like exempt because it's healthy.
I just read, too, that if you just do the bowl instead of the tortilla, and then it's like you're on a diet.
Yeah,
so
we
load
do
it down with sour
I don't do
cream
the tortilla.
Cheese.
Yeah, just we do the bowls. All right. Studies show students with later classes make lower grades. Now, that one's
kind of
surprising.
Is that what my problem was? Because I dropped like every 7 a.m. class.
Yep, you just weren't getting up. And now look at it's come back to bite you. Karma has come back to bite you all these years later, having to get up and do a show.
I had a psychology class, okay, and I didn't have a car. So I had to ride my bike in Kentucky, like through the freaking snow, to get to a psychology class at 7 a.m. You want to know how long I made it?
Psychology at 7 a.m.? That's bad.
Yeah, on a bicycle in the snow. You know how long I took that class? About 3 days.
He's probably had a lot of dropouts at a 7 a.m. class. Must have huge dropouts. We should do a study.
Studies show.
Yeah, studies show that there are economic benefits to being beautiful.
No kidding.
Yeah, they did a study. Yeah, yeah, no kidding.
I like totally got out of the ticket from the cop because he was like totally hitting on me. I'm like, shut up.
My shirt was wide open.
Yeah. Just looking at my shirt, but I didn't care.
Studies show some diseases are becoming antibiotic resistant.
Yeah.
Yeah. We knew that, 10 years ago, didn't we?
That's like this month.
Yeah, that's like this month. Studies show beer could make you better in bed.
Hell yes. Finally, a study that matters.
Did you need that study, though?
Listen, I went to a beer fest on Saturday. Oh, okay.
Yeah, how'd that go?
They give you 30 for $30, you get 15 tickets, right? And they're supposed to give you like 3 or 4
Isn't
ounce
the little
pours.
Sample sizes, or
They're supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you. They're like, here you go, and give you a giant cup of beer. So they're supposed to give you like a quarter of a cup, and they fill the whole thing up. I had fit. Well, Chad and I split it, but it didn't matter. I only could get about five down, and I was like, I went to bed at 7:45.
So the study was not correct, is what you're saying?
Let me tell you, the beer did not help me get sexy. I'm like, I have a headache. I'm going
to bed. What a waste of money that study was.
Yep.
Studies show reading makes sleeping easier.
Thank you.
Yeah. And look, even Lucas agrees.
Yes, he does. It's over there, bud.
And this is for all you vegetarians out there. Studies show that lettuce makes us fat.
No, it does not. It's all the dressing.
It says right here in the headline. I didn't make that one up. You can look that one up. I knew you'd think I made that one up, but I did not. If I made it up, it would have said tofu.
Studies show that if you're at McDonald's and you're eating their iceberg lettuce drenched in ranch dressing, you're going to get fat.
Studies show that alcohol, by the way, I did look at that one, the lettuce deal, and that's exactly why. You got it, because most people drench their salads, and so it ends up you get fatter eating the salad. Studies show that alcohol advertising, you're going to love this one, that alcohol advertising influences the choice of underage drinkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely agree with that. I don't even like Budweiser, but man, I see those horse commercials. I'm like, I need a Bud.
New study shows that we've always suspected. Our cats really do want to kill us.
Are you serious?
Yes. This was an article that came out last week, and I read every word of it. And it talks about how the cats really have the innate, you know, wild thing from their relatives in the jungles, and that if they were big enough, they would rip our throats out and eat us. And I believe it. You haven't met the beast. So, yeah.
I have met the beast, and I do believe it. Sorry, I'm trying to get the two-year-old situated.
T-Rex study shows how terrifying dinosaurs' jaws were.
Well, that's a great study. Wow.
They probably spent $1 million on that study.
Didn't they watch Jurassic Park? We know that.
Yeah, exactly. Studies show having a pet dog reduces the risk of children developing asthma and allergies.
Didn't that study just come out with kids on farms, too?
Yes, and that's true. And it said that they had a 50% less chance, actually, with kids on farms. It was even greater than than just having a dog. So yours is going to be healthy forever because he's out there naked rolling around the farm. So,
oh, yeah. There would be non-existent allergies here, for sure.
Studies show that teens check social media more often than expected. Again, we probably spent $1 million on that. When any restaurant you're sitting in can just justify that study. Just look around.
Look at the girls riding their horses. I'm like, put the phone down and ride your horse. There's no reason you hear a bloop. You don't need to stop.
Well, there you go. There's my studies for November. We wasted probably about $10 million there.
Okay.
All right. Why don't we do this while she's getting baby Luke situated?
I'm back.
No, that's okay. We can. Why don't we take a break for a song, and we'll come back. We have some more news and some more things to talk about. So I felt you got me all in the mood now talking about beer and stuff or alcohol. So I'm going to go with Stillhouse Jane this morning from Templeton.
Oh, thank
Thompson.
God you're not playing a Christmas song, because we know what happens when you play a Christmas song before Thanksgiving on this show.
I know. I'm not allowed. Apparently, listeners made that pretty clear. So, here we go.
Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. I know you love that sweet Virginia corn. Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. Don't you go around there anymore. I know you like that lightning in a bottle. Trouble finds you there and always will. So, Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. Jane, stay out of the stillhouse. I know you love that sweet Virginia corn. Jane, stay out of the stillhouse.
But when sipping turns, turning up the jug, you don't know when enough's enough. And girl, the crazy things you do. So I'm begging you, Jane, stay out of the stillhouse, Jane. Stay out of the stillhouse. I know you love that sweet Virginia corn. Oh, Jane, stay out of the stillhouse, Jane. Stay out of the stillhouse. Don't you go around there anymore. No. Jane, stay out of the stillhouse, Jane. Stay out of the stillhouse. I know you love that sweet Virginia corn. Oh, Jane, stay out of the stillhouse, Jane. Stay out of the stillhouse. Don't you go around there anymore. You know that stuff will put you on.
And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network. That's Templeton Thompson and Stillhouse Jane. Today is brought to you by our friends at Omega Alpha Equine. Glenn, I've got a list for you, buddy.
Okay.
So it's the things that you feel completely normal doing as a horse person that maybe, you know, other people don't. So okay. This is so true. And I do this to Lucas all the time. And the number one is you cluck at people to get them to move out of your way. He'll be standing, get you. I'm like, move, go. I do that to the dogs. I do that to the kid. I might have even clucked at my husband. But totally acceptable when you're riding. Completely inappropriate when somebody's in front of you.
Yeah, pretty much.
Number two is you assume two-point position when you go over a speed bump. It helps, you know. Number three is your horse's grooming tools. Guilty. Find their way into your bathroom. You don't have a hair comb to put your hair back at a horse show. Grab a mane comb. That's what I do. Actually, I get those big brushes and mane brushes. And you know what? I mean, I'm already in the barn. I'm putting on a dirty helmet. What's wrong with brushing my hair with my horse's tail brush? I don't see anything wrong with it.
It's actually probably cleaner than the brush you have in your house.
That's true. I don't know why, but that's probably true. A horse's fart in your face is completely normal and you wouldn't get bothered about it. I'm going to change it a little bit. But somebody farts in a room and you're like, oh my God, that's disgusting.
True. That is true.
Yeah, you will be cleaning your horse's hoof, walk around, they will literally fart in your face and you're like, ugh.
And see, that is a problem that we have with driving that you guys don't have with riding.
Oh, yeah. Like that Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, exactly.
Number five, your friends start calling you Equine MacGyver because you can fix anything with baling twine.
Or duct tape.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what? I had to put baling. Long story, I used a baling twine invention yesterday and I was pretty pleased. Number six is you are eating three-day-old leftovers because you just dropped hundreds of dollars on feed and supplements and you can't afford to buy food for yourself. Yeah. We've all had ramen noodles and our horses have eaten very well.
Yes.
Yeah.
More times than I care to remember, actually.
Okay, you watch Minions on your own time. I'm busy right now. Get Minions. Number seven is you look at property online and you always check to see what the barn looks like first. Because that's more important than the house, obviously. That is so true. Whoa. When Chad and I were looking at property online and we were looking at houses and farms. And I'm like, what is the barn? Is there a barn? What does it look like? I don't care about the house. We can fix the house. The barn needs work.
I have a house for you a little bit later, too, to tell you about. And the barn's really nice. So,
My husband gets very upset when I say this, but it's so true. When number eight, you drive past a golf course, and this is you think, but I say it out loud. That'd make an awesome cross-country course.
Jennifer says it every time.
Every time I drive by, I go, God, that's a waste of good pasture.
Every time. Jennifer says that every time.
Uh-huh.
She used to get the ride on the golf course when she was at Myopia. They used to have bridle pass through the golf course.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Yeah, I'm sure that was nice.
We used to sneak along at the path and on the fairways, we'd try to see how much of a hoof print we could get on there without getting fined.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Can I get 3/4 of a hoof print there without getting a fine?
Number 9 is you start to use your training techniques on other pets and family members. My friends are so surprised that Lucas does certain things, and it's totally because I train him like a dog.
Well, you don't like Big Bang, but one of the Big Bangs was just that. He was trying to train Penny using chocolate. And the reward system using chocolate. And I think we try and do that sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally.
It's not working right now with Lucas, by the way.
No, but when I'm trying to get him potty trained, and that's why he's naked all the time. So I'm like, okay, we go potty, we go to the grass. And I would take him out to the grass. And then I put his potty in the grass, we're in the same spot, where you take a puppy and you're like, go potty. And so now he pees in the potty because... He obviously
learned how to go. That was unconventional, but I guess it worked.
It totally worked.
I am totally going to cut that 45 seconds out and save it for his graduation party.
Lucas, you sit. yeah, we have video of it. You spend more time color coordinating your horse's tack than your own outfits. Oh my God. It's so true. Like these teenage girls come out and their shirt matches then they'll pick the saddle pad. They'll wear the shirt that's going to match the saddle pad. And then they have to get the boots that match. And I love them. I do. So funny. They all look so cute when they ride. I never was that organized.
No, that requires forethought.
Yeah, it does. Mommy. All right, give him your list. That is the you are an equestrian when version from Horse Collaborative. So thanks to Horse Collaborative for that.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about Equestrian Collections before we go on. Equestrian Collections, of course, is your one-stop shop for everything you need for the holidays.
Chad wakes up yesterday morning and I go, babe, I just discovered PayPal. And it is just he wakes up and I go, babe, PayPal is bad. And he was like, what did you do? I said, it's not what I did. Here, go take that. I'll play minions in a minute. But
Jamie, is your phone near the mic?
Yes, that was the child. Sorry. Okay. Equestrian Collections, thank you very much for, I told you guys about all the stuff I bought on sale last week with the clothes. And I now... Well, Norman needed a blanket. He needs an 84, and I didn't have an 84. So he needs a waterproof
84.
Wow. 84 blanket.
You don't have one of those hanging around?
I did not have one. So, but then he needed a waterproof sheet too. So I had to get an 84 waterproof sheet. And then I realized, oh my God, it's going to be getting cold and I'm buying blankets. Guess who else needs a blanket? Lucky does. Lucky needs a blanket. So I bought Lucky a blanket. I bought Norman too. And I didn't tell Chad I did all of that. I just told him I bought Norman one. So don't tell him. And if I bought one more thing, then I got free shipping. So then Norman needed new bell boots.
Of course he did. Well, what's nice is on equestriancollections.com, you can find all of that, plus your holiday gift shopping ideas right there on the homepage. They have they actually have it set up like a catalog, so you can just go in and look at the catalog pages. It makes it quick and easy to go buy anything you might be interested in. They have, it used to be when we had our tack shop back in the 90s, you could not find colorful saddle pads. Saddle pads were made in black, white, and if you got lucky, you had a blue, right?
Hunter green and navy.
Yeah, that was it. I mean, that's the only colors. Now you can get every color, polka dot, paisley, stripes. You can just get anything in saddle pads now. It's so cool. And saddle pads make great gifts. Nobody can have enough saddle pads, right? Clothing, whatever you're looking for at Equestrian Collections. And what we saw at Ada is coming true when I look around Equestrian Collections' website is colors are in. Very colorful colors are in, even for half chaps and all kinds of things that never had colors before are very colorful now. So if you're looking for colors for Christmas, head on over to equestriancollections.com. They and their sister company, horselovers.com, are sponsoring the voicemails for the Radiothon, and we appreciate them being part of that. And you're going to hear more from them on Radiothon Day with some gift ideas as well. So all of that, we're so happy to have them. And speaking of a Radiothon, we have started to get the voicemails in, Jamie, and some of them are really good.
Oh, yeah, good.
Some of them are actually, they're all very nice. We appreciate everybody that sends in a voicemail, and we're going to play them all on Radiothon Day. But keep your voicemails coming. And I can tell people are putting some effort into this year. So, get.
Is it? It's not a contest. It's going to be a random drawing, but we just.
Yes. And awesome. Anybody that sends in the voicemail or calls us live that day will be in the random drawings for the prizes that we give away every hour. And then the grand prize at the end of the day. Now, remember I said, this is breaking news. Remember I said the grand prize at the end of the day was going to be Benefab, one of their ceramic sheets worth about $400, right? And then they're also partnered with Soar No More, and Soar No More has given away a big package of prizes. So it's about a $600 grand prize at the end of the day. Well, that grand prize has just gone up to include Dublin Lifestyle boots of the winner's choosing, up to a $300 value.
Holy cow.
Oh, my gosh.
And a Weatherbita Freestyle 1200 denier detach-a-neck medium blanket valued at $229.
Do they have it in 84s?
They probably do. So we are looking at, that's almost $400 right there. We now have a grand prize worth $1,000 that somebody is going to win at the end of the day for the Radiothon. And anybody that submits a voicemail or calls in at all during the day will be entered, and then we're just going to draw it out of the hat, and we're going to see who wins at the end of the day. So that's a large amount of money. That's a large amount of stuff.
Wow.
That's a pretty good prize. Wow.
That's awesome.
$1,000 grand prize. So that's all coming up on the Radiothon here in a little bit. Well, Jennifer is going to be rounding up our guest today. Kristen from the Wacky World of Horses with Horse Nation is going to join us. But I wanted to mention there was good news coming out of England, and that is, and I think he's still in England, that equestrian star and, of course, eventer Andrew Nicholson, who got hurt pretty seriously a while back. He actually fell off and he injured his neck. He had a really bad fall at Gatcombe in August. He underwent surgery to ensure that he would walk again. Oh, let alone ride. He's been forced into a long road back to health here. He said that the doctors are saying that he might be able to ride again real soon, that he's healing very well. He was told that hopefully if his next scan shows everything's working, there's no reason he can't start riding again. The specialists are very positive, and above all, he said there's no reason why he can't be back to normal pretty quickly. So after a broken neck, he looks like he might be back to riding again.
Yeah, we've talked so much about William Fox Pitt that we didn't really get to talk about Andrew Nicholson much, but that's because not much information came out. But if anybody is going to hop back in the saddle, it's the Silver Fox. And Andrew Nicholson will.
You know what he said, though, and this is interesting, and this will make everybody that feels human just make him feel better, I think. It said, but the veteran rider sounded a note of caution over how seamless his return to the saddle could be. It, quote, it's whether I've got the commitment and want to do it. At the moment, I very much want to ride, but I fully understand I can hop on a horse and I might feel frightened. And if that is the case, I will not do it.
Yeah, good for him.
He said, I don't want to ride to make the numbers up. I don't want people to say I was only doing a good job considering he hurt his neck. I want to be doing a good job and winning. You never know until you try. I very much feel that's what I want to try. I think it's important to have something to aim at, and that's what I'm about to do.
Wow.
So, he's obviously thinking, and he has nothing to prove, right? He's been to the Olympics like six times. He's nothing to prove. And he's 50. What did we determine? 54. He's 54 years old.
Jeez, amazing.
But you know what? He's obviously thinking a little bit about fear and a little worried about that, which is something that anybody who falls off thinks about. So it's, the professionals do too. Something they think about also.
No, his fear may be a little different than my fear because he's fearing maybe like 9-foot fences,
yeah, exactly.
And I'm fearing like a 2.
That is true.
So there is a little bit something. Hey, before we get to Kristen, I got to just let everybody know, I just posted it on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. And you can go on and vote for the Sports Illustrated 2015 Sportsman of the Year. And these sportsmen are like a gymnast, Usain Bolt, the track guy, Stephen Curry, a basketball player, Thomas Davis, football player.
Lucas.
Yes, bud.
Daddy took the phone.
Daddy took your phone.
Oh, he's tattling on Daddy.
Go sit down on the bed. Sorry, you guys. Novak
Tattletale.
Djokovic, and
he totally threw Chad under the bus.
He is the biggest tattletale ever.
Chad's going, I give up. You get him back.
Yeah. But we need American Pharoah is one of these that is on the list for Sportsman of the Year, and unfortunately, he's not winning right now. He is in a second place.
Who's he behind?
You don't want to know.
Usain Bolt.
No. Usain Bolt, isn't that the guy that got busted for drugs? I can't believe he's on the list. Jordan Spieth is on the list with 3% of the votes. Serena Williams is on the list, and she does have 1% of the votes. American Pharoah in second place with 29% of the votes. Ronda Rousey, that fighter chick, is on there.
Yeah, but she should be off that list pretty soon.
Did she lose this
weekend? She lost that big match, and she was a poor sportsman. You know how they touch gloves at the beginning, and you know it's kind of like they're shaking hands before the match starts? She refused to do it and turned her back on her. And then she got knocked. She got kicked in the face and knocked out in the second round. She had karma, came back, and bit her in the butt.
Wow. Okay. Well, see, she should be out. She only got 3% of the votes. And American Pharoah is in second place with 29%. He's got 65.
I know who's in the lead. The Kansas City Royals.
You got it. The Royals, which is ridiculous. There's no, even Chad agreed with me that there is no way the Royals.
They didn't win the World Series.
They lost the World Series last year to the San Francisco Giants, which is Chad's team. And they won it this year.
They won it pretty quick
against the Mets. Sorry, Ellen, our listener, who's a huge Mets fan. But anyway, so the Royals have 34% of the votes.
Well, that's not too much of a lead.
No, it's pretty close. So it's like 65,000 votes to 75,000. So they're like 10,000 votes ahead. So we need a little bit of help.
We need every listener to vote.
Yes. Every single person that listens to the Horse Radio Network needs to vote for this. So Novak Djokovic, you and your ice smile and just ridiculous. I just don't like that guy.
All right. That's coming up. And I think we have Kristen ready, don't we?
Kristen, post about this Sportsman of the Year on Horse Nation. Give him some votes.
Hi, Kristen. Good morning.
Good morning.
And, of course, Kristen is joining us.
Yeah, I think definitely we need to get some momentum behind American Pharoah. That's ridiculous.
A horse has, never won this, ever. And a horse has been outvoted, three different times. And the jockey won over a horse in Seattle Sue's case.
And, American Pharoah never refused to shake anybody's hand before a match.
That's right.
That's right.
Ronda Rousey.
That's a great point. He's a very friendly horse.
That's right.
So, clearly.
Deserves the win. We need a horse represented. Kristen, you can do it. You have millions of listeners and readers.
I have the power.
You do. You have the pen. You can do it.
Find the link.
Yes.
I posted it on our horses.
We posted it on Horses in the Morning, so steal it. Hey, Kristen, you are filling in. Thank you for filling in for Leslie today. We appreciate it. And we're going to do something a little different because you just got done up there at Equine Affair in Massachusetts at the Big E.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, we were there for all 4 days. It's kind of like a weird long story. I was actually running the table for my alma mater, Alfred University, to try to, recruit and share the story of Alfred with equestrian students. But of course, it was also 4 days of shopping and clinics and running around and seeing everyone. So it was a very busy 4 days. I guess if there's any listeners that haven't been to an equine affair or don't know what it is, it's like a massive, massive equestrian trade show. There's also performances and clinics and seminars. And so it's a really good educational opportunity, but it's also a really good place to spend lots and lots of money, which is what I ended up doing. So.
Everybody does. Yeah, I got to ask you real quick. Did you go to Fantasia and see the proposal?
No, we didn't make it to Fantasia this year. I'd gone in past years. But we did not go this year. So there was a proposal.
Yeah, some guy proposed to his girlfriend at halftime during the intermission at, in the middle of the arena, and then had a horse-drawn carriage come up and take him off after the proposal. It was very romantic, and he's going to get a hell of a lot of brownie points.
Like, yep, yeah, that's like horse husband of the year. Horse yeah, exactly. Husband to be.
I got to locate that guy.
yeah, call him up and have him on the show.
So what was the highlight for you this year? Did you get out to see much of it?
I did, yes. We had three of us running the table, so we kind of went out in shifts and always had at least one person there to talk to incoming students. But I did actually publish a piece on Horse Nation. I think it ran on Friday of 6 outrageous things you can buy at Equine Affair. And I did not purchase any of these things, but I looked really long and hard at all of them.
Tell us about it.
Especially, you know, well, the dewberries. You know, you've got to look. I reached out kind of longingly to touch one and then realized I really probably looked like a really creepy person. So I didn't before someone called me out. And then there's a lovely booth doing custom riding booths. Okay, so I'm a Western rider, and I was still drooling over these fully customizable tall boots that start just for the low price of $690, the starting price.
Yeah, that's cheap,
you know,
actually, for customs. Yeah, but then you Western riders, you can buy $600 boots, too.
That's true. Although, I think because it's in Massachusetts, it seems to be geared a little bit more, this Equine Affair.
Yeah, that's English. The higher one's a lot
more
Western.
More of the English and driving represented, which is fine, because I consider myself a fairly well-rounded equestrian, or at least well-rounded in the case of what I'm buying, so... let's see, I got to hang out with two baby Frisians, which there's a photo on Horse Nation. I looked like totally stoned with happiness because there's two baby Frisians snuggling me.
You did too, by the way. And you, the outfit you were wearing almost made it look like you were a vet tech too. So you look very official.
Yeah.
Out with the...
Yes, totally legit. That was my event signation polo, but I think there's a little Frisian baby head in the way.
It's really cute.
But yes, I was snuggling both of them at the same time, and then I casually inquired as to what they were asking, because the lady was there.
It?
She's like, oh, they're both for sale. So, you know, for 5 figures a piece, I could have taken them home.
It was only 10,000 each?
So that would have been a little... Well, 5 figures, so a little upper 5 figures.
Oh.
So, a piece, you know, and there was no, like, twofer deal. Like,
you get 10% off for taking both.
A terrible shame. And then I think the favorite thing that I saw, and this booth, I will say, sold out of everything they bought. I think it was called the Pony Pal Corral or the Pony Up Corral. It's like the next gen of rocking horses.
Yes.
So you sit, on the saddle and you put your feet in a little stirrup and you kind of pump your feet up and down, and it rolls.
Yes.
So people were just, like, racing these things through the aisles. And, yeah, it was pretty nutty. So I took a video and put that up on Horse Nation for everyone.
They've been around, actually. The little horse rocker things on wheels have been around for a couple of years. Do you remember them at Rolex a couple of years ago, Jamie?
I do.
Everybody, they must have sold 100 of them. Those things are still selling, huh?
Yes, yeah. I think when I walked by on Sunday, they had a sold sticker on just about every single one of them. and, you know, it was weird. Like, you would see little kids go by, and then would see, like, teenagers go by. So
see,
teenagers,
this,
I guess, were...
This is where Frankie Lovato blew it. He wanted to make the Equisizer to be so realistic, and, you know, he wanted to make it so that you could actually practice riding a horse on the Equisizer when all he had to do was make a toy and he had sold a million of them.
Right, yeah. You put a little fuzzy mane and a unicorn horn on it, and, like, instant seller.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so I did not walk away with one of those, fortunately.
Yeah, well, you have the real one. You don't need one of those. You're good.
Exactly. You're I have good. Plenty of real horses.
Well, now, did you... So did you spend any of your own personal dollars?
I did.
And, is husband going to be mad, by the way? Just
I texted him to warn him. I was like, just so you know. But, you know, I did it the right way. I sent him the picture of the Frisians first, and I said, oh, I bought these. You know, so then when I come home with the stuff I actually bought, it looks a lot better because I'm not coming home with two big
Smart.
It's always smart. Always.
You got to
play
it right. You know,
Dave, how much did this cost? And I'll be like, I think it's like $700. And he's like, what? And I'm like, just kidding. It's only $300. And he's like, oh, okay, that's way better. You know, instead of starting
yeah,
with
right?
the $300.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start big and you're like, just kidding. This is what actually happened. I did wee bit of Christmas shopping, but yeah, I also treated myself. So, okay, remember, I'm a Western rider, and I went, like, all out English apparel. I don't I couldn't help myself. So I ended up with a pair of Ovation country boots. Those are very popular.
Yes, and Jennifer loves hers. Have you worn yours yet?
Yes.
Yeah,
I put them on. I almost walked out of the booth wearing them. I was like, can I just wear these and you can just, like, you know, bark with my foot? But I decided to wait. But yeah, I wore them the next 2 days.
They broke in instantly, didn't they? You didn't have any trouble with them.
Right, yeah, they're super comfy. It's like I've had them forever. So,
which ones did you buy? Which Ovation boots? Because I have the Alistairs.
I think they're called the...
God.
I looked at those. Those are very cute. I got the Kenna, which is like a slightly simpler looking version. It doesn't have the lace up the side. It's just, they look pretty similar, but not, you know, obviously not quite as nice as the Dewberries I was coveting. So I was like, well, this is a good intermediate.
No. You have to let that go. The Dewberries are just expensive. They're just overpriced boots.
It's like a trophy boot. I wouldn't even want to wear them if I bought them. I just want to put them on a shelf and look at them. So this is a practical version, we'll say.
Yes.
The actual, the one you can wear.
That's right.
The wearable
ones. And then there was a booth that was selling like literally Baker everything in Baker print.
Mm.
My little Western horses will never ever have a Baker anything in their life, but I have a great Baker sweater now, so I can hack around and pretend that I'm like an Irish hunting princess on my cow pony. But
I'm okay with it. I love it.
Look at you. Look
just
at
like
the
nation. Totally undisciplined.
Yeah, right. The
undisciplined.
The jumpers and the dressage riders are getting more Western and more bling all the time. And look at you, Western riders, getting more English.
I'll share a piece I wrote a long time ago when I was just a volunteer columnist for Horse Nation. I wrote a piece when I was actually working for Alfred, and I was coveting everything that my coworker was wearing. So I wrote a piece comparing Hunseat and Western style and how much I really, really wanted the Baker polo she was wearing. So I think this is like a little bit of escapism for me. Like, I'm getting the sweater. So, yep, now I...
There you go.
I'm good to go if I ever end up, you know, attending any more English shows this year.
Were there any of the clinicians that you got to see that made an impression? Or?
Yes, I did. Of course, we had to go check out Dan James.
Just
to see what kind of magic he was working.
He's hot. Don't lie. He's gorgeous.
And to listen to his accent and watch him, you know, thunder around bareback and doing magical things. The session that we attended was his, like, basic intro to Liberty, which was really good. Because I've seen, you know, obviously the really fancy, like, end product. And I'm like, this is great. But I'm not really sure how you get to this point. And he was showing us, like, okay, how you start. And that made a lot more sense seeing some of that. So. You know, I'm not sure that I'll go home and be like, Red, time to learn how to rear, but, you know, it was cool to see in action for sure.
Right.
And then we all split up and went to a bunch of different ones. So my students reported back on a Julie Goodnight clinic. I had another girl who went to a lot of Warwick Schiller's talks, and then she cornered him by his booth and asked him a bunch more questions. So I'm going to be putting together a list of all the gems we picked up at Equine Affair. That'll be running on First Nation today or tomorrow. Trying to think of where else I went. I went to a really good talk from Joyce Harmon at the Harmon Equine Clinic about Western saddle fit, because I have never heard a lot about Western saddle fit, and I was a little concerned for my own guy. So I picked up some tips to take home on that for sure. So we'll be at the barn later today seeing if the saddle really fits or not.
That's a great idea, because I feel like it's such a thing in the English world about how your saddle must fit the, you know, and everything. And then the Western saddles, it's always kind of overlooked. Far as fit goes, we'll just pad it up.
Exactly. They always say, "Oh, just put a different pad on." I'm like, "That's not going to really cut it." I don't think.
Yeah.
So,
it's the big dang quarter horses with those big old flat backs. They just set it on top of it and strap it on. Fine, be fine.
Well, yeah, and my little guy he's small. You know, like he's a little cow horse, and he has a short back, and my saddle is like pretty much at the longest possible point. I really say it doesn't fit. So I think I'll be making some changes and probably looking.
Honey,
for
I have
saddle,
to buy a new saddle now because I have to.
Joy How much Harmon does it cost? How much does it cost to listen? Say, well, it's the one I really want is $7,000, and he'll be like, "Oh my god!" He'll be like, "Just kidding, it's only $3,000." And see, doesn't that sound better?
Yeah, much better. That's the way you got to play it. Apparently, my sister-in-law is like, "Oh, I have a new saddle in my attic. I haven't used it. So I'll be looking at that. You know, we'll see what we already have." But
yeah.
But changes are coming. So I do not believe in the just pad it, you'll be fine method. So.
Well, I got to tell you, too, I wanted to thank you guys for posting about the Radiothon coming up. Leslie did an article about it and trying to get the Horse Nation people involved. She's going to be co-hosting the last hour of the show. And actually, she'll be co-hosting and the last hour when we give away $1,000 grand prizes. We have a grand prize worth about $1,000 of various stuff that we're going to be giving away, and that'll be during her hour. But I wanted to mention that what we're encouraging people to do is do voicemails like your listeners too. But I bet you didn't know that Leslie sent us a voicemail a couple of years ago around the holidays that she did for us. Did you ever hear this one?
No, but now I'm very curious.
Well, I just happened while you were talking to pull it out because, you know, Leslie's not here. She can't be embarrassed. So
exactly.
Here we go. This was her contribution to our Christmas special a couple of years ago.
Hello there.
I think there was alcohol involved.
This is Leslie Wiley from the Wacky World of Horse Nation calling to wish you a Merry Christmas and say thank you for letting us crash your show every Monday morning. We wanted to do something special for you guys, so we hired an amazing singing horse to serenade you and your listeners with a festive Christmas carol. Come on out here, singing horse. Here goes. From all of us here at HorseNation.com, here's wishing you and your loved ones a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year.
No.
Oh, man.
What is... What kind of horse is that?
But anybody that knows Leslie knows that that is so Leslie.
Yeah, it's hard to say, like, was there alcohol involved or was she just like...
I know!
Who knows? You'll never know.
Never know. But anyway, we would love for your listeners to contribute to. Just go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the Radiothon banner in the middle of the page, and you'll see how to send us a voicemail, and we'll play them on the Horse Nation Hour from 8 to 9 p.m. on November the 30th. And that'll be Leslie, and we also have Jenny Autry coming over from Eventing Nation to help out. So it should be a lot of fun. Hey, before you go, if you have a few extra dollars left when you're done buying the saddle, I have a property that just came for sale for you guys that I think you're going to be interested in.
I'm interested.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I know you live in Pennsylvania, right, Kristen?
Yeah, Western New York.
Oh, wow. That's even worse. That's freaking cold. You get snow. It's awful.
Yep.
You need a place to go in the winter.
2 days ago.
Yeah, see? You need a place to go in the winter. So I found this little property for you. It's only 8 bedrooms and 10 full baths. And 3 partial baths. So there's 13 bathrooms. That's a lot of toilet paper. The interior is 21,538 square feet. And it's on 50 acres. And it's in the beautiful gated community of a Ranch Colony in Jupiter, Florida, right outside of Wellington. The main house consists of 5 bedrooms, 5 full baths, and 3 half baths, overlooking the beautiful 4-acre private lake and fully equipped 8-stall stable. And when they say stable, they mean mansion that happens to hold horses. The main house is complete with a heated saltwater pool, a chef's kitchen, 1,000-bottle wine room. Who could afford to buy 1,000 bottles of wine?
Does it come with the wine?
I don't know. It should.
Or just the room.
A safe room. I don't know if that means a safe room from like hurricanes or it has a safe that's a room. I don't know which.
It's like a panic room.
Yeah,
panic room. Yeah.
That's right. It has an observation lounge and terrace with incredible views of the pastures. There's 3 structures. It has a guest house and a barn and, of course, all that. And there's living quarters in the barn for the hired help. But it does exceed Miami-Dade hurricane specifications, you're going to be happy to know. And the eight-stall stable includes a riding and jumping arena, eight turnout paddocks, a beautiful riding trail that winds through the cypress and pine trees and pass by the internationally acclaimed Dye Preserve Golf Course, which I'm sure you could ride on and they wouldn't care. And on the they also are surrounded by 20,000 acres of nature preserves with access to the riding trails from the property.
Anybody? It sounds a little small, Glenn.
It does.
You read that. Like, I can hear my heart beating in my ears. Like, it's like my heart is thumping so hard thinking about having a place like that. And I always, whenever you see a house like that or you hear about it, I always think, oh my God, can you imagine the air conditioning bill on that?
Yes, 21,000 square feet.
Yeah.
And then that's when Chad goes, people that own houses like that, they don't care.
Yeah, that's right. So how much would you guess this particular property outside of Wellington, 50 acres, 21,000 square feet, three houses?
Heart rate is like 120 right now. Sounds so exciting. God.
It's beautiful too, by the way.
I'm playing the lottery today is what I'm going to do.
I would live in the guest house here. It's bigger than your house, Jamie. Guest house is really
down
nice.
By Wellington. It's got to be $10 million.
Kristen?
I'm going to go higher, like 15, 18.
Yeah, you were in the right direction. You can get all of that for a cool $23 million.
Oh my!
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Hey, it has a lot of stuff, right? I mean, it's a gated community.
It does come with amenities, yeah.
Oh, and it has.
Okay, the deal breaker for me is it doesn't come with 1,000 bottles of wine, because if I have to stock that myself, I'm not interested.
Yeah, because that's like $1 million right there, you know.
Right.
That's a tidy chunk of
change.
And
seriously, you could make money on that property, okay? You could rent out your stalls during the winter season.
For about $8,000 a day.
Yeah. I mean, you could make money. It's the gift that keeps giving. You could, like, have wine tastings and charge people, sell the bottles of wine. You could rent out your stalls. I mean, really. You could rent out the...
Anyone ever purchased a property like that and then lived in, like, the groom quarters and then rented it to owners?
No.
So, like, you come and you rent the property and you get me as a groom.
I will say this. The properties in Wellington are expensive. I won't say who, but somebody I know that went, a jumper rider, went to Wellington last year, rented a 10-stall barn, and it didn't come with a house. It came with a little tiny house. But it's 10-stall barn, and it had an arena, and it had a turnout field. And all of that for the mere price of $25,000 a month.
That's it.
Where did the money come from? I look at that and I go, how can you afford that?
Do you know that person? Because if you know that person, I would like for them to become a Horse Radio Network auditor. Thank you very much.
$25,000 a month. And they were there for 3 months. So right there, $75,000 to stay for the winter in Wellington. That is the down payment on most people's homes.
Yeah, like, I'm okay with just putting another sweater on and shoveling the snow, really. Like, I think I'll make it.
You better be, because you ain't coming down here anytime soon at $22 million. That's just
oh
not
my
happening.
Gosh, that's no. Crazy.
Now, you can go to your husband and say, look, this $3,000 saddle's a bargain. I was going to purchase the $23 million property in Wellington.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's all relative.
Right.
You have to order, you know, what you're going to show him in the correct way.
Don't tell him about the wine.
Don't
tell him about the 1,000-bottle wine cellar, because he might actually choose the property. So, and you'll never get your saddle.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So we won't tell him about that. Thank you, Kristen. We appreciate you stopping by and tell us all about Equine Affair.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Have a great week.
Bye.
That is a fun show. Have you ever been to any of the equine affairs? Did you ever go to one in Ohio, maybe?
I went to the one that's in Ohio, and I bought a crappy trailer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they sell a lot of trailers at that one.
But I went to Equitana more than that.
I wonder why that ever... They never make any money. Is that why that stopped? That was in Kentucky.
It was in Kentucky. It was so fun. So fun. I would love to go back if they would ever have one. It was amazing.
I don't know why that one ended. Yeah. But it ended before we ever had a chance to get there.
Yeah, it was awesome. I was a volunteer for a Mustang troop, a group of kids that rode inner city youth at the Kentucky Horse Park that rode Mustangs, which is how I learned about the Carson City, Nevada trained Mustangs. And so we took the kids and did a quadrille with them during Equitana. So it was one of the little side things that you could go watch. And it was really, really amazing and really fun. So I actually was involved in Equitana. And then I went the next two times just because.
Well, we wanted to mention, too, a certain guest. We wanted to tease a certain guest that we have coming up on Wednesday. Jennifer got this one set up, too. She's been on a roll here lately. And we asked on our auditor Facebook page what questions they have, and they came up with a lot of good questions because I think Jamie's a little nervous. I'm feeling a little sick, probably won't be here on Wednesday. So
I will kill you. I will kill you.
George Morris.
Talk about my heart rate going up, Glenn. Good God. So I'm supposed to, and Glenn's like, oh, you're going to lead this one, okay? Here's George Morris. Jamie, George Morris, George Morris, Jamie. Yeah. Hi, George. I got to go. I got to go pee. He's just he's an icon. He's epic. He's amazing. And Jennifer did a great job booking him, and it's definitely a lifetime dream. I'm jokingly nervous to talk to him, but I'm equally as thrilled to talk to him. How many people get this opportunity? And you know, you can find occasionally a print interview that he's done, but he doesn't do these kind of things. So we're really lucky to have him. And Jennifer, I think he's promoting something. He's got something. Does he have a new book? What's going on?
I believe it is a DVD that he is working on with another horse person who is not in the hunter jumper world, which was what prompted me to ask him to come on, because he's partnering up with somebody that I didn't expect to see. I'm pretty sure it was someone who comes from a Western background. I'm going to have to look up and get the details. I forget the details because I've actually been working on getting this set up for the past 9 months.
Are you kidding me?
No, I don't. She's not. It's been nine Jesus. Months in the making.
What if he doesn't show up?
It was easier to get Charlie Daniels.
Yeah, it was. If he doesn't show up, what we're going to do is we are going to open Leslie Wiley's George Morris doll, and we're just going to pull the little string continuously. 10 minutes.
So, George, tell me, how's your day going? Hospital or on? You either go to the hospital or you get on. Decide.
Yeah. I dare you to ask him how he feels about the George Morris doll. He had to have given his permission for that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
There's no way Breyer was going to allow that without permission, right?
You know, I think but I've been reading because I've been trying to study, you know, and deservedly so. The man just wants respect. So if he feels like the doll is respectful, I'm sure he was okay with it. But if he feels like it's disrespectful, we're going to get an earful.
I won't. I'm sick. I'm really getting sick.
Oh, my God. Me too. Jennifer, all you, girl.
It's so funny. People take clinics with him all the time. This should be no big deal. We're just interviewing him.
I don't know why those people do that.
That's true.
Would you take a clinic with George Morris?
No,
I would not. I'm sorry. Give me I'll take a clinic with, oh my God, just about anybody else in the world. I mean, I would audit quietly in the back.
With big baggy clothes on.
With big sunglasses.
Yeah, exactly.
Umbrella.
Exactly. Well, that's coming up on Wednesday's show. What time on Wednesday, Jennifer, do we know?
9:45.
9:45 on Wednesday. All right. Good. And I think we only have a few minutes with him, so we'll have to pick out which questions we really want to ask him and go with that.
Throw you guys under the bus. Oh, well, John from Ohio wanted us to ask you this.
That's right. It's always easier to blame someone else.
It wasn't me. I didn't come up with that dumb question, Mr. Morris.
Well, before we end today, how do you really feel about Eventing changing his name to Equestrian Triathlon?
Equestrathlon?
No, it's they're thinking now Equestrian Triathlon.
It's official?
No, but the Olympic Committee is now taking it up as one of serious considerations for changing for the 2020 Olympics.
Well,
it's not, doesn't roll off the tongue, does it? Equestrian Triathlon. It doesn't roll off the tongue.
I think for the general public, that's probably great because they will get a little more out of it than 3-day eventing. I think eventers will always call it eventing.
Eventing, yeah.
That's so I don't really too. Care what they call it to appeal to the masses. I do think that when people go to watch horses swim or, you know, whatever, they're going to be disappointed when the horse doesn't hop on a bicycle and pedal down the road. so it might get confusing at some point, but yeah.
They're also talking about some other changes that are they're working on now for the 2020. This is going to be in Japan. They'll have a right now the way the Olympics work is they get four team members and then they have a drop score. So the right. lowest score drops. Well, now they're talking about capping it at three team members across all the disciplines and there will be no drop score. They'll have separate individual and team events, and separate sport specific recommendations were also raised. So what they're talking right now, it's kind of combined. So your team scores count towards your individual scores and all that. They're talking about having separate. So there'll be a total of 15 teams and 15 individual athletes.
And so they're not cutting back on any horses or riders.
They actually are. This would decrease the number of horses and riders. And then what else, too, in dressage, they're talking about dropping the test. They want dressage done and eventing in one day. So they're talking about making the test 5 minutes. They'll cap it out at 5-minute test so they can get them all done in one day. Because they don't want 2 days of dressage anymore.
Well, I did my last beginner novice A on Thor in a full court dressage arena instead of the little short ones. And it was about 5 minutes. It's a lot of walk.
Yeah. So, it takes a long time to walk across the arena.
Way to walk. Especially you do that walk trot test. Oh, my God. Walk from X a loop the entire arena. I'm like, is this still going on? Am I still doing this test? So they could just do that.
And they have a bunch of other format changes and different things that they're looking at. But apparently they're pretty serious about considering making these changes in order to preserve equestrian sports in the Olympics.
Well, whatever they need to do to preserve it, because I would be just devastated. And little girls who dream of being in the Olympics all over for the rest of eternity would be just devastated.
Yeah, I think they're going to keep it. I think they're trying to reduce the expense of it. And I think that's what they're doing here. So.
It's the only Olympic sport where men and women compete as equals. They cannot get rid of it.
Oh, that is true. It is the only one, isn't it? Are you sure curling?
Pretty sure curling is, you know... I don't know.
Segregated?
I think it's segregated. Equestrian is the only Olympic sport where men and women compete as equals.
Okay. I believe.
Write that down. All right. Although that might have been a statistic before stupid curling.
Curling. I don't know why I came up with curling, but I did.
Did you got a news story about Keen Ice running next week? So.
I thought of curling. Anyway, that's it for today. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate it. Join us Wednesday for Jamie's debut. Interviewing the George
Morris on the show next Wednesday. You guys be there.
This Wednesday.
With all your support. Yeah.
This week.
Well, the next Wednesday. The next Wednesday that we have.
That's true. Wednesday. That is. Yeah. What are we doing tomorrow, Jennifer? What's tomorrow? Oh, it's the Certified Horsemanship Association tomorrow.
CHA.
Yep. So CHA's Christy will be here. Talking about training. So that's what's happening on tomorrow on the show. Thank you, everybody.
All right, everybody. Have a great one. Spayed, neutered, geld.
I need to find a closing music.
I can sing.
Just in time.
Damn it. G'day, mate. Our Australian listeners.